Road safety has always been an important issue for the Pacific Highway. But at first, accidents were not reported.
Well, it was only, I think it was 1937, that the police reported accidents to the DMR. So the DMR at the time weren't even involved with any fatal accident investigation. But after 1937, the police only reported accidents that they thought the road had a contributing factor to the DMR, and the DMR would do some investigations. The approach to safety was, we'll improve the design standards so the road would be safe, but the onus was on the driver not to do anything silly. And given the relatively low volumes on the road, the chance of a lot of head-on type accidents are fairly remote.
Peter Stevens is now road safety manager at the RTA's Grafton office.
I saw it as the road. It didn't have any particular danger to me. It was windy. It was interesting to drive. I was a young person with a heavy foot, a wish to travel as quickly as I could, and the curves gave you an opportunity to test your car against someone else's car. Things you would not do today. No doubt the road claimed a high number of victims. People died there. But it wasn't seen as the road's problem. It was the road. You used it how it was. People just pushed it to the limit.
Oh, well, I've seen a hell of a lot of bloody crashes between semi-trailers and people killed and buses, you know, getting burnt. Yeah, there was a crash at the foot of Sullivan's Gap. It was a load of meat coming from up Queensland way, and he came around the foot of Sullivan's Gap, and he overbalanced on top of this Ford motor car, and it squashed the motor car down to the height of the wheels, and it still had the two people in it, tore the top clean off it. Well, I had to give the ambulance bloke a hand to lift them two out of that. The lady, she had her arm burnt off and all the clothes burnt off her. And we had to try and get them out. We couldn't get any help. We had a bus pull up there with about 30 footballers in it and none of them would give us a hand to do it. And I had on my hands for a week, I had the smell of that woman's body. And I'd done everything to try and get that smell off. Couldn't get it off. You just had to wear it off. It was more or less negligent driving a lot of the people, you know, because a lot of the truck crashes that they had them days, they used to only have young, inexperienced drivers on them. And because they used to give them, say, from Coffs Harbour to Sydney to do the run in a day, and they couldn't do it. They used to have to force the truck, and they couldn't handle the bends in the road. We'd average nearly one semi a week on the highway.
We were just completing the extension of the bypass and the impact, which took us onto the Coffs Harbour boundary. And there was a section of road of about, say, half a kilometre, which was only a deviation, and it was still gravelled until we were doing the main construction. And this chap, he was an ambulance driver, and he was his wife and daughter, and they were travelling from Sydney to Coffs Harbour to a wedding, and about 5 years or so. Now, they were involved in a fatal accident. The three of them got wiped out with a truck. It turned out that the girl that was in the back was my nephew's fiancée. So it was a very tragic moment for me. He was most upset. I don't think he's ever forgiven me.
For what?
Well, it was, you know, saying that I was in charge of the road and it should have been better, la, 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 la. But when you're doing construction, you have to move the traffic from one side of the road to the other. And if he hadn't driven for about 8 or 9 hours straight, it wouldn't have happened.
John Andrews is a policeman who's patrolled the highway since the 1960s. He has carried out some studies on road accident statistics.
300 kilometres of the Pacific Highway, what we had was almost 80% of our fatal and serious crashes versus the other 7,000 kilometres where we had the remaining 30%. Now, I don't think you need to be a brain surgeon to figure out where you're going to focus your resources to try and combat road safety. And my belief was that we could control them. When we started the program of putting these people on the highways, we divided our 300 kilometres up into four segments. So that theoretically, if you drove from Coffs Harbour to the border, you should see four highway patrol cars, marked ones. Be they working radar, patrolling, stopping a motorist, whatever, they were there. That had such a significant effect on the road toll in that area that we were able to reduce fatal and serious crash trends by 37%.
People want to travel too far, I think, in one day. Therefore, they're speeding. The road, what is at a reasonable standard, is not good enough to travel at high speed. People overtaking in the wrong places because there aren't enough overtaking opportunities as the roads get crowded. Even though we have put a lot of overtaking lanes in, there's just not those opportunities. There hasn't been so many run off the road type accidents. It's been very much dominated by head-ons. I think the expectations these days, you know, as roads have got better, you've got the Sydney-Newcastle Freeway, we've got the Hume Highway, and other roads are being upgraded, that they expect that style of road or able to drive in those conditions. It doesn't matter where they go. And in that respect, I think, yes, the road has contributed a fair bit to the accident rate. And, of course, cars are better than they were years ago. You can go a lot faster and you get this illusion of being a lot safer, I think, in your car than what you might have been 20 years ago.
There were some very notorious bus accidents in the late 1980s. Can you tell me about those accidents and what do you think might have been the cause?
The first one was in October 1989, and that happened at Cowper, halfway between McLean and Grafton. At that section of the highway, there were three bad waves in the bitumen, and a loaded semi-trailer would have a lot of trouble staying in control if he hit that at any speed. Air-suspended vehicles, such as coaches, ride it out and iron it out very nicely. Air suspension has that characteristic and the ability to do that. But a few months after that accident, at that very spot, I was bringing a spring-suspended bus over the same point. And when I went over those three waves, I could not believe how it nearly threw me through the roof. The road pavement was definitely wavy. And when you go up in the air, there is a tendency to pull your steering because it upsets your steering geometry. And that could easily have pulled that semi-trailer over into the front of the bus. What actually happened was the front of the semi hit the coach's front wheel. It spun the semi-trailer to an angle to the left, and it protruded the steel frame of his semi-trailer into the side of the bus, tore completely along the side of the bus and took 20 passengers with it. Although the truck driver was killed, they checked him out and he did have a degree of drugs in his body, the normal drugs that they take for staying awake. Now, whether you could contribute that to it or not, but I know for a fact that that's exactly where that accident happened, where those wavy sections were in the road. The coroner came out and stated that a four-lane highway would have avoided those accidents.
And then about 4 months later, there was two buses collided north of Kempsey, and I think that killed about 31 people. And the community uproar pressured the government into injecting some money into the Pacific Highway. And until then, the previous 10 years to that, very, very little was done.
How did you feel about the government lowering the speed limit to 90 k's after those accidents happened?
I think it was a political knee-jerk reaction to seem to be doing something. And it didn't achieve one thing. In fact, it made the highway more dangerous as far as our drivers were concerned.
Why do you say that?
Well, the general traffic's doing 100 and they're doing 90, and there wasn't a lot of passing lanes, so we were holding traffic up and people were taking risks to overtake in places they shouldn't. It was absolute disaster, I felt, to lower it.
It's my personal view that speed limit to 90 k's is not a good thing, because you've got two breeds of traffic on the same road with two speed limits. And while I'm on that, I should mention that the speed limit of 80 k's for P-plate drivers is also a nuisance. It creates a third layer of speed on the same highway, and I believe that that should not be a condition of P-plates. It isn't in Queensland. In New South Wales, they're made to hold up traffic.
There's a piece of roadway just north of Ballina that is in an area called Tintinbar. And over a 10-month period, I think it was, there were about 14 fatalities on that section of road. And from memory, they all involve heavy vehicles. We were forever pulling trucks off the side of the road, and oft times they'd run into a car going the other way and what have you. 14-odd fatalities in 10 months or so was pretty horrific. You can imagine the publicity that it was attracting. The speed limit on the road there was 100 kilometres an hour, and obviously that was inappropriate. So it was one of the first places where, in consultation with the RTA and through their liaison with the guys at office at Grafton, we introduced a 70 kilometre per hour speed limit for trucks. The bottom line was that once we started enforcing it and got it all in place, I remember the measurement over the next 12 months was not a scratch on a truck nor an injury to any person. It would be fair to say that when I left up there, some years after that was introduced, there still wasn't any vehicles off the road there, heavy vehicles or people killed or injured. So I think that sort of highlights the sorts of things that we can do from a policing perspective in relation to road safety.